Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Redeemed Through His Blood. We've got Scott and David Durfee here today. How you doing, Dave?
Great, Scott.
Good to be with you. It's good to have another beautiful day here as we walk on into summer. I'm so glad that we're finally doing that. And I know you're golfing today, so that's your everyday.
Beautiful day to golf. I've seen very few days.
That's not a beautiful day.
There are beautiful days for golf.
Yeah, so. I can understand that. Listen, we again received a couple of great emails this week. Want to thank you for those. Thanks for sharing your experiences. For those of you who are asking questions, we appreciate those too. We try and answer those here on the podcast as they come. And so if you have questions or if you have comments that you'd love to share with us, we'd love to hear them. You can do that at heredeemsus@gmail.com. Well, Dave, over the last few, and this will be yet another episode where we focus on forgiveness.
Yeah, Scott, we are kind of at the conclusion of the course. I mean, we're getting close, and this is kind of the culmination of all of it. Everything that we've done, speaking about our identity to begin with and speaking about the premortal existence and who we are and whose we are and talking about the plan of redemption and the fall of man and the atonement of Jesus Christ. And then we've been several weeks now on the doctrine of Christ, which is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance, and receive ordinances, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we are an enduring to the end, and that's kind of where we're at, is receiving the Holy Ghost and enduring to the end. And so I think that this is such an important topic, Scott, to be able to help one another to recognize the Holy Ghost in our lives, to really understand the role of the Holy Ghost, to really understand what His purpose is, and to understand, as President Eyring says, that whenever we feel the Holy Ghost, that the atonement of Jesus Christ is working in our lives, and we are being forgiven. To paraphrase Elder Christofferson years ago in a conference talk, he said that the Holy Ghost is the messenger and the administrator of the atonement of Jesus Christ in our lives. And I've always kind of loved that, and that has always been such an important title of the Holy Ghost for me. It's a description of the role of the Holy Ghost, the messenger and the administrator of the atonement of Jesus Christ in our lives. And just think about that for a minute. Messenger, He's the one that really teaches us, Scott. I mean, we have the Word of God, but without the Holy Ghost to confirm in our minds and hearts the Word of God, it doesn't have the same power or meaning. So the Holy Ghost really teaches us, is the messenger about Jesus Christ and His atonement. And then He is the administrator. He ministers all of the grace, all of the mercy, all of the redemptive, enabling, and compensatory powers of the atonement of Jesus Christ in our life. He's the sanctifier. He's the justifier. He's the cleanser. He's the healer. You know, we speak of really Jesus Christ as a healer, but really it's through the instrument of the Holy Ghost and the personage of the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ really performs that. So the Holy Ghost plays such a critical role. I mean, just think about this, Scott, that I know what the greatest gift of God is. The greatest gift of God is eternal life. That's Doctrine and Covenants, right? 14:7. But in this life, before we receive the gift of eternal life, the supernal gift that we've been offered to be our companion is the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I just believe, Scott, that so many of our challenges, our problems, our heartaches, our afflictions, our adversities, everything can be swallowed up in the comfort and in the knowledge that we have the Holy Ghost to be our constant companion. And I take that pretty literally, Scott, that the Holy Ghost can be our constant companion. Now, I know I don't always feel him. I don't feel him every moment, but I believe he's with me. And even I, every man is a sinner. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. I sin every day. You sin every day, Scott. Paul said, no one's without sin. I get that. We're all fallen. We're all lost. It takes a lot to lose the Holy Ghost, Scott. Honestly, I have totally flipped from my mission. On my mission, you know what? You know, when you're new, when you're really new, I was really new to feeling, recognizing, receiving the Holy Ghost. Even though I know I'd felt it throughout my life from the time of my baptism at the age of 8, and I know the Holy Ghost was with me. But I hadn't really noticed him or recognized him as powerfully in my life until my mission. And I kind of came to this conclusion. I think I told my companion this once. You know, it's really hard to get the Holy Ghost, and it's really easy to lose him. And I, that's kind of how I felt a little bit on my mission. I was so sensitive to the Spirit that I'm sure I felt that way at the time I said it. However, I have completely changed. Completely flipped in my philosophy about that. Coming back to life from a mission and going through all the gunk that you go through and all the great things too, but the challenges and the hardships. I mean, you think your mission's hard, right? Well, you know, try raising a family of six children. Let's talk about what's hard.
Yeah, that's right.
And anyway, I know that coming back into the world and trying to continue to progress is a hard thing after your mission. And after all of these years, Scott, 40 something years now that I've been home from my mission. No, 50 years. It'll be 50.
I wasn't going to correct
it. It will be 50 years next year that I came home from my mission.
It's almost 40 for me, so
I'm 70 years old, Scott, and honestly, I have completely flipped. It is so easy to get the Holy Ghost, and it is so hard to lose him. Honestly, Scott, that's how I feel.
Well, you better put that in context. So others, you know, because now you've said, well, I'm 70. Is that because you're older and you find it easier to live the gospel?
Well, partly.
Or is it because you've decided that maybe the way I saw it before was a little too regimented?
Well, I think I've gone through a lot, and I've lived a lot of things, had lots of experiences. And I guess the one thing I've learned, which we have tried hard in this podcast to help others to learn, is to speedily repent.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I kind of live in a state of repentance, as I think we should, and I'm not perfect at that, and I want to get better at that, but I am always thinking about repentance, and I'm repenting every day, and I certainly know more about the atonement of Jesus Christ now than I knew on my mission. And having all the experiences of teaching for 40 years in seminaries and institutes and having ecclesiastical positions and raising a family and seeing children struggle and seeing them repent. And anyway, all of those experiences, Scott, has taught me the Holy Ghost really wants to be with us. It is really hard to drive him away. He does not want to leave us. Really, I know this about the Holy Ghost. And by the way, the Holy Ghost is a real personage of spirit. And I don't know if we want to get into a theological discussion of who the Holy Ghost is and his role. But anyway, you know, I think he appeared. I think he's I know he's a man, and I believe he appeared to Nephi in 1 Nephi 11, chapter 11. I think it's verse 11. I think he appeared to John the Baptist. Elder McConkie believed that. So I think there have been actual people who have seen the personage that we call the Holy Ghost who chooses for whatever reason to remain nameless It's a little bit of a title, and some people think that different, perhaps, individuals or personages of spirit have fulfilled that role, or have been given that title or that calling, and that it isn't just one person. I don't believe that. I believe the Holy Ghost has always been the Holy Ghost and will always be the Holy Ghost. And even though Joseph Smith prayed to know if the Holy Ghost would ever receive the body, and to receive a body, and Heavenly Father told him that that wasn't for him to really know, I believe that someday he will get a body. I believe the Holy Ghost is a, I know he's a personage of spirit, and he chooses to sacrifice, make the sacrifice of not having a body for now in order to be with us always, and that he can dwell with us, that he can dwell in us. That's another philosophical discussion. Does he dwell with us or does he dwell in us? We don't need to focus on that because I don't think that's very important. But anyway, Scott, I know he wants to be with us. I know he wants to guide and direct us. That's his role. That's his mission. And Heavenly Father wants him to be. And Heavenly Father has given him all the power that he needs to be. And the atonement of Jesus Christ has given him power. And he administers that grace and mercy of the atonement of Jesus Christ in our lives continually. That's what he wants to do. Heavenly Father loves me. I know that because he gave me his son. And he gave me the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ loves me because he sacrificed his life for me. And I know the Holy Ghost loves me because he continues to sacrifice, make personal sacrifice on his part by being with me always. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ as I understand it, Scott, and it all comes down to our relationship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Ghost. It all comes down to relationships. And we're talking now in the course, in our repentance and forgiveness course, we're talking really about how can I know that I'm forgiven, and how can I have the power to forgive myself. And the understanding the role of the Holy Ghost and recognizing and receiving and responding to the gift of the Holy Ghost, those three R's that were given to us by Elder Bednar years ago in a conference talk. Again, that's receiving the Holy Ghost, recognizing the Holy Ghost, and responding to the Holy Ghost. Understanding those three actions and choices on our part are that's the key to really knowing that we're forgiven and to have the power to forgive ourselves. So let's talk about that, Scott, and what's your thoughts on this subject?
I love that you talk about how we have the Holy Ghost and how the making the Holy Ghost, probably not the right way to put that, but having the Holy Ghost not be with us takes a lot of work. I think that's kind of maybe a shift in a lot of our thinking, Dave. I think that a lot of us think, and I know that I have thought this, and I still struggle maybe with this sometimes, because I sometimes think, well, if I do something that will offend the Spirit, then the Holy Ghost can't be with me. And I'm not talking about, you know, walking into a bar and drinking.
Yeah.
I'm talking about having an attitude, having a feeling, having a say. We're all human, you know, and I can sit in my sacrament meeting and hear a testimony meeting, and there can be something said, or I can sit in a Sunday school class and there can be something said, or I can, that just makes us, I don't know, maybe rubs us the wrong way or what have you. And Dave, when I have those feelings, I feel like the Spirit leaves me. So maybe we could talk about that a little bit more. I'm not sure what you mean by he can be with us, and it's harder for us to get for us to push the Holy Ghost away than it is to have it. Maybe that's not exactly what
I
said. I
think so much of that is not controlling our minds and our emotions, Scott. You know, when fear sets into my heart, it's hard for me to feel the Holy Ghost,
right?
Even though I believe he's still with me.
Okay.
When lust comes into my heart, it's hard for me to feel the Holy Ghost. It's hard for me to recognize him, but I believe he's still with me. There are so many things connected to our mental and our emotional and our spiritual that and our physical, really, that if the physical is off, I mean, in certain, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In certain imbalances, the Holy Ghost may be with you, but you might not feel him.
Right.
Mentally, if we're off, that doesn't mean that you don't have the Holy Ghost, even though you may not feel him. Mentally, emotionally, physically, that always affects whether we recognize the Holy Ghost or not. But that doesn't mean he's not with us. I think you almost have to drive him out of your life for him to choose not to be with us. He is with us, and I believe you have to really make some conscious evil choices to get rid of him. That's how I feel, Scott. I sin, and I immediately repent, and he's right there. I know that the Holy Ghost is my constant companion, and I know that I've driven him away before in my life. But it's been a long time, Scott, since he hasn't been my companion.
Yeah, I love that you put some emphasis on feeling. You know, feeling that, because that's how I would identify it. That's how I, in the past, have gauged it.
Yeah,
you know,
President Packer used to always say that. You know, we don't. It's not so much that we hear him, but more that we feel him.
But if we don't feel him, can he still be with us? And what I hear you saying is that absolutely he can.
Absolutely,
and not only can he, but if we've been given the gift of the Holy Ghost through proper authority, through proper restored authority, then he is our constant companion, and it is more difficult. I have one of the reasons I bring this up, David, is because I get this sometimes pretty frequently. I mean, it's not all that common, but it's semi-frequent that I get this in our institute class, where there's just an awful lot of I hesitate to use the word mental illness, because it has such a stereotype attached to it that I don't like, but we all deal with certain things, you know, that are just not completely put together, or just not completely right from a mental standpoint. Well, I've had more than one, and probably more like more than five of my Deb and mine students in our institute class, who, when we talk about the Spirit, when we talk about having the Spirit, who have enlightened me, a couple of them have said, and independent of each other, so maybe this is something that's more well known than I thought it was, but they keep a journal, and they write down their experiences that they have with the Holy Ghost, that's stuff that can help them remind them.
Great idea.
And so what they do is they're dealing with mental situations, conditions that make it more difficult for them to feel the Spirit. And so if they write down these it's a Spirit journal or a Holy Ghost journal, I hate to call it that, but whatever it is, where they're writing down these experiences, and then they can go back and refer to them. And so it's not just a feeling. It can be a mental knowing. It can be an experience outside of our feelings, because a lot of us are just really, that the way we feel is different from others.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. So anyway, I hope our listeners are not responding negatively to what we're saying and thinking, well, he's not always with me. Honestly, Scott, that kind of thinking keeps one from feeling the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Because it takes faith. It takes faith, an eye of faith and a firmness of mind to be able to receive, recognize, and respond to the Holy Ghost. It takes work. It takes effort on our part. He doesn't just come and all of a sudden we know it. Honestly, we have to play a role in this. And he can't force himself upon us. And he won't, for sure. And so many times, if we would just slow down sometimes in our life, in our daily life, we need to find times in our life when we can slow down and we can focus on spiritual things. And if we would just be still, a little more still, and think about these things, I know that individuals would be able to recognize him more in their life.
Yeah.
But I believe, Scott, that I take it literally that the Holy Ghost is our constant companion. That's one of his titles. He has a lot of other titles. Constant companion is one of my favorites. But another one of my favorites is that he's a testator. He testifies of the Father. He testifies of the Son. He testifies of the plan of God. He testifies of the atonement of Jesus Christ. He is a teacher. He teaches us about all of these things. He is a comforter. He comforts us when we're sad, when we're lonely, when we're depressed. He can comfort us. That, again, may take effort on our part. He doesn't come and automatically override. He doesn't necessarily, he may at times, but normally it wouldn't be normal for him to override what we have a choice in our life to do. And I know, and we've said this often in this podcast, I know we have more choice and power over our thoughts and our emotions than we think we do. And he won't override that. If we've chose to think negative thoughts, if we've chosen to think faithless ideas and thoughts, if we have chosen to choose negative emotions and let negative emotions, which are always with us, but which we can choose to overcome with love, right? Perfect love casteth out all fear. I think perfect love casteth out all lust. I believe perfect love casteth out all negative emotions. And if we don't choose that, and if we don't do our part, he's not going to choose to override it. So we have to do our part to feel the Holy Ghost, Scott. It takes mental exertion, by the way, which is another definition of faith in the lectures on faith. In the lectures on faith, it says faith requires mental exertion. It takes great mental exertion on our part, and it takes a really soft heart, firm mind, soft heart. In fact, let's read the scripture on firmness of mind and the love of God and the connection between those two, Scott. It's in Jacob chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. I think there's just so much instruction in this little passage. I mean, Jacob is talking to those wives who have been abused, and he's talking to those who are pure in heart, the wives of the Nephites who have become wicked, and this is what he says to them. So verses 1 and 2, Scott.
But behold, I, Jacob, would speak unto you that are pure in heart. Look unto God with firmness of mind.
Now notice this. He's acknowledging that they're pure in heart.
Yeah.
He's acknowledging that these are good people. But what do they lack? They apparently are not very firm in their minds. They're not very firm in their minds, which affects their faith. Firmness of mind and faith are also connected in the Book of Mormon in Alma 58, talking about the stripling warriors of Helaman. And it talks about their faith and their firmness of mind. It takes great faith, Scott, and firmness of mind to be able to recognize the Holy Ghost in our lives. And if people would just focus on it more and exercise their faith and mental exertion, they would feel. So start over, sorry.
But behold, I, Jacob, would speak unto you that are pure in heart. Look unto God with firmness of mind and pray unto him with exceeding faith. And he will console you in your afflictions, and he will plead your cause and send down justice upon those who seek your destruction. O all ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing word of God, and feast upon his love, for ye may, if your minds are firm forever.
Sadly, there are so many members of the church who do not feast upon the love of God, who don't understand that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and they fail to recognize what God did for them because he loved them, his infinite love for them, and they don't understand the love of Jesus Christ, what he did just for them individually, personally. I believe that's a lack of faith and a lack of firmness of mind, Scott. I've just been so many wonderful Latter-day Saints I have known throughout my lifetime who live the gospel, who keep the commandments, who are covenant keeping, true and faithful, and they don't feel the love of God in their life. This is the scripture I always feel back. I always fall back on this scripture. Then what is wrong with their thinking? What is wrong with their mind and their emotions? Why is it? I know they have the Holy Ghost with them, Scott, but they don't feel Him. Or maybe they occasionally do, and they've received a testimony. There's lots of ways that we feel the Holy Ghost, and there's lots of gifts He offers us. But right. I think the ultimate gift, Scott, and this really gets to the heart of our message today, I think the ultimate gift that we can receive from the gift of the Holy Ghost is the love of God and forgiveness of sin, and to know where we stand with the Father, and to have a relationship with Him as a father, as a child to a father, and to know of His love, to feel His love. That is the ultimate gift and witness of the Holy Ghost, is that God loves us. So for people who don't experience that, I wonder, what are they lacking in the firmness of their mind, or what are they? Why is it that their emotions will not allow them to feel the love of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost in their life?
Well, I have two comments. I have two thoughts around that question, actually. So the first one is first of all, what do we mean by love of God? You know, when we talk about the love of God, do we have to feel the love of God? Is this a caloric burn within us that we have to feel that love? Or can we see the love of God? Can we witness the love of God? And can we observe the love of God in our lives and in the lives of others? And can that be a feeling of His love? You know, that's the first thing that comes to my mind, is we just need to understand what we're talking about here and not get caught up in the emotional approach to love. I mean, it can be important, and it can be a manifestation of love. But, you know, the emotional approach here, if we take a strictly an emotional approach, and I don't know all of the, you know, there's ethos and eros, there's all these different types of loves, and I'm not an expert, can't even comment on those, but there are different types. But if we understand that we're not just talking about an emotional experience here, that's number one. Number two is, I have found, Dave, when I'm lacking in this, when I'm not feeling the love of God like I would like to, like I would need to, like I should be, I realize in those cases, and it's almost every time, and probably is every time if I'm honest, it's because my relationship with deity is out of whack. It's not in line.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be important. I have to do what's necessary for me to maintain that relationship with deity. That's not unfair, even, you know, in my relationship with my sweet wife. I work at it every day.
Yeah,
she works at it harder than I do, but I work at it every day. And with my relationship with my Heavenly Father, with Jesus, with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, I need to be working on that every day as well.
It's true, Scott, and yet I go back again and I see their faces to people who work at it, who read their scriptures, who say their prayers, who keep the commandments, and they still don't know where they stand with God.
Yeah.
And they still don't know if God loves them. And I think, how have experiences or abuse or manipulation or the world or the accuser, Satan, and others have worked upon them and have so mentally piled up so much stuff in their mind and upon their life that they can't see, feel, or understand the love of God. And it's heartbreaking for me, really. And I think that, again, if one would really undertake to study what is required of us, and to really focus upon what can I do to feel the Holy Ghost in my life, and to seek to walk by the Spirit, as Paul says, to live by the Spirit, to receive the fruits of the Spirit, as described in Galatians chapter 5, of love and joy and peace. If that would become one's focus, is to be able to recognize the Holy Ghost in their life and receive the fruits of the Holy Ghost in their life, they would discover in the work that they need to control their thoughts and they need to control their emotions. I know everybody's probably tired of me harping on that, but as a patriarch, Scott, as a patriarch, to be able to receive revelation, I had to learn the first lesson I learned being a patriarch, and probably has become the greatest lesson I have learned in my entire life, is how our emotions and our thoughts control our ability to receive revelation in our lives and to receive, recognize, and respond to the Holy Ghost. That's just an incontrovertible fact. Did I say that right, Scott?
Probably.
Incontrovertible fact. That you can't change that. Our thoughts and our emotions control or somewhat determine. I know you can't force revelation. You can't force it. You can't manipulate it. You can't demand it. You can't control the timing of it. But I know, Scott, from experience, many years of experience being a patriarch, that my emotions had to be in the right place. I had to be filled with love, and I had to forgive others, including myself. I had to learn have the faith of the power of Christ through His atonement, and know that I was worthy enough, even though I wasn't sinless or perfect, I was worthy enough that the Holy Ghost wanted to bless others through me as a patriarch, or others through me as a dad, or others through me as a granddad, or others through me as a minister or friend, or especially husband. That if I do not control my thoughts, if I am weak mentally, if something's not right, if I have some chemical imbalance, if there are certain anxieties or fears or troubles or thoughts that I am obsessed with that are controlling me, then I'm not in a position where I can really receive, recognize, and respond to the Holy Ghost.
And I think that's what I mean when I'm talking about establishing that relationship, right? People are probably getting tired of hearing us quote this scripture too, but this is in Doctrine and Covenants 6:36, look unto me in every thought.
Takes a lot of work.
Doubt not, fear not.
Takes a lot of focus.
So what's the antidote to doubt and fear? Looking unto Him.
That takes so much effort and focus.
Yeah.
And yet, and it takes a lot of mental firmness.
Okay, which is true, and it does. That's absolutely accurate. But how do we do it? It does take a lot of work, but the effort is less sometimes than we make it out to be.
Well, you don't do it just by going with the flow.
No, but this is how you do it. Behold, this is verse 37, the wounds which pierced my side and also the prints of the nails in my feet, hands and feet. Be faithful, keep my commandments, and you shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. So how do we do it? We go to where He was when He paid for all of this for us.
And that takes a great eye of faith. It takes a great eye of faith, Scott, to see yourself in Gethsemane and at the foot of the cross.
And then we strive to be faithful in keeping His commandments.
Yeah.
Why? So that we can have His Spirit with us, right? We go back to the sacrament prayer. We go back to, you know, that we will always remember Him, that we will take His name upon us. Why? That they may always have His Spirit,
yes,
to be with Him. That's why we do that, you know.
Every Sunday we make that covenant. And I won't go into this today, but there is a connection between being willing to take upon yourself His name, mm-hmm, and receiving the Holy Ghost to always be with us. That's maybe a topic for another time. But going back to this idea of look unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not, Doubt not, fear not, Scott.
Right.
Doubt not is mental.
Right.
Fear not is emotional.
Fear is also. Right.
Fear not is emotional.
Right.
If you don't control your thoughts, if you doubt, if you don't control your emotions and you fear, it's pretty hard to put yourself at the foot of the cross or in Gethsemane and to hear the voice of God through the Holy Ghost say, you're forgiven. I forgive you.
So it's not.
I love you.
Yeah. So maybe it's not an event. Maybe it's not a one and done type of experience.
Sure isn't. It's
you know,
not.
maybe it's I'm doubting and fearing today. I need to look at him more. I can't look at him potentially in every thought, but what if I look towards him in more thoughts than I currently am? And what if I make a little deeper
effort? It's striving.
Effort? What if I make just a little deeper effort?
It's striving.
Do
we strive?
Yeah. Behold the wounds which pierce his side and also the prints of the nails in his hands and his feet. What if I just get a glimpse of that a little bit at a time? And then at some point in my progression, then I feel the healing effects. Also the love, the great deep love. And then also I can, because of the great love that I'm feeling now, go back in time and allow myself in that moment back in time to feel his love as well.
Yeah.
And heal all that.
Yeah. Well, amen. I love that, all that. But Scott, there's a lot of people with a lot of mental,
yeah, I know,
and emotional challenges, and I don't
know.
Want to discount those or to minimize all of that. And people should be using any medication they possibly are prescribed by doctors to become more chemically balanced. People should receive the help, the inspired help of hopefully inspired helpers and others, counselors, therapists. There are so many things that God has given us, which people, according to Elder Holland, should see the hand of God and see these helpers and medications and others as a gift from God, as miracles in our life, and people should utilize those.
They're really instruments of grace.
They are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so for those who are listening, I hope there's so many who take medication and all of a sudden they become kind of themselves and they can kind of feel the love of God and they think they're okay and they stop taking their medication. They feel they don't understand why they're so spiritually down and mentally discouraged and depressed. And there's holistic, Scott, things. I'm a believer in that. You know, your grandmother Durfee was a believer in that.
Yep.
You know, there's so many holistic things that we should be doing to be healthier, to be more receptive, put ourselves in a position to receive the Holy Ghost in our lives. I mean, it's a whole thing. It's a balanced thing, and the physical and the mental and the emotional and even the social, all affects the spiritual. For one to be able to be spiritual and to feel the love of God and the Holy Ghost in their life, they need to make sure that their life is balanced. As a bishop in Minnesota years ago, we had this good member of the church, faithful member of the church, a psychiatrist from Chicago, come and give us kind of a welfare session and counseling session, priesthood leaders. And she came to Minnesota, I remember, and I'll never forget what she taught us. And her hypothesis was that if people are off in any one area, right, physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, if they weren't balanced, if they did not have balance in their life, they could not receive the Holy Ghost to the extent that they might have received it. They can't, you know, that being balanced is so important. If somebody is off maybe physically, it can lead to depression. If they're off mentally, it can lead to physical sickness, you know, the mind's effect upon the body. And all of these things are connected. It's all connected, Scott, and one must see their life as a whole and work on all of it. But so many, going back to Jacob, so many of the pure in heart, whose hearts are right,
yeah,
can't feel the love of God because they don't receive the Holy Ghost, because they can't control their thoughts and their emotions.
Firmness of mind.
Firmness of mind. And we've been commanded over and over over again. I've 128 times is what I counted in the scriptures. 128 times in the Old Testament, New Testament, in all the standard works, to fear not or to be not afraid. That's not always a choice to begin with, but it usually always becomes a choice. We can't control the fears or some of the negative emotions that we feel. We're natural men. We're fallen. We're just humans and sinners helping other humans and sinners. And yet, Scott, we are free because of the atonement of Jesus Christ to act and not to be acted upon. And you can't stop negative emotions from coming into your mind or heart, but you can replace them. I testify, I know that with prayer and with faith and with effort, that emotions and negative thoughts, negative emotions, irrational emotions, irrational thoughts can be replaced. I know that if one will pray with all energy of heart, Moroni 7:48, they can replace it with his love. And when they have his love, they will feel his spirit. And when they feel his spirit, Scott, they should immediately think of President Eyring's quote, when we feel the Holy Ghost in our life, we should understand that the atonement of Jesus Christ is working in our life. So how do you feel forgiven? How can we forgive ourselves? How can we feel the love of God? Honestly, it's simple, but it's not easy. But the simple answer is receive, recognize, and respond to the Holy Ghost. So what can we do to receive the Holy Ghost? But there's so many scriptures on this, Scott, that we don't necessarily need to go through and read them all, but in 2 Nephi 31:17, we learn that we receive a remission of sins, not so much by the water that we baptize people in, it's by the reception of the Spirit, the baptism of fire, and the Holy Ghost that brings a remission of sins, right? That's what brings a remission of sins. It's not doing the ordinances in the temple that bring a remission of sins, Scott. It's the Holy Ghost, by participating in the ordinances of the gospel, that brings the remission of sins. The Holy Ghost is the sanctifier. He is the justifier. He is the agent of forgiveness. It is in him and through him and by him that we are forgiven of our sins, Scott. So in all that we do in the church and trying in our best efforts to live the gospel of Jesus Christ, it shouldn't be, what am I doing? It should be, what can I do to qualify for the gift of the Holy Ghost? And what can I do to help others to qualify for the gift of the Holy Ghost? So that should be more our focus. In Alma 13:11-12, we learn that he's a sanctifier. In 3 Nephi 27, we learn again he's the agent of forgiveness. And I love in Moroni 6:4, that's kind of always been my go-to scripture about how to be forgiven, how to recognize forgiven, that it's not through our merits, but it's only solely, completely through the merits of Jesus Christ. And we are cleansed by the power and gift of the Holy Ghost. I actually believe it's cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, because I believe, Scott, that there are many non-members who receive a forgiveness of sin. Now, that's my opinion. That's not church doctrine. So I believe there are many who can receive the power of the Holy Ghost without having the gift of the Holy Ghost, who can receive blessings through the atonement of Jesus Christ in their life. Not just a testimony. I know friends that we teach, we now call them friends, not investigators, which I like, but friends and investigators that we've taught or who are being taught, You know, they have they're entitled to the power of the Holy Ghost so that they can receive a testimony. And I also believe that they receive grace and mercy in their lives as well through the power of the Holy Ghost. Ultimately, it is through the gift of the Holy Ghost that we receive the full effects of God's gifts, His ordinances, and the power of godliness in our life. So,
I want to read that last scripture that you just referenced. That's Moroni 6:4. Is that okay if I do?
Yeah, I love this scripture. And it was one of President Hinckley's favorites, by the way.
And the reason I want to read it is not just to, you know, add emphasis to what you just said, but to tie the relationship together. And,
all about relationships.
And you'll understand that at the very end of this verse. Now, this is Moroni chapter 6, verse 4. And after they had been received unto baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, that's what you just referred to.
Cleansed. He's the cleanser.
They were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ, and their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the good word of God, to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and the finisher of their faith.
That takes some firmness of mind, Scott.
And that's the relationship component. It's Christ's work, Christ's atonement, administered and sanctified us through the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. I love the way you said that. And again, I'm really emphasizing this for everyone because of all those who I'm thinking about. It requires firmness of mind. It requires work. It requires effort.
Yeah.
To be able to really recognize that it's not through our merits. It's right. Not through my performance. I can keep all the commandments and still go to hell. Without Jesus Christ, I could keep all the commandments and I'd still go to hell. But really, Scott, it takes faith in Jesus Christ and His atonement. This is the doctrine of Christ, Scott. Faith in Jesus Christ and His atonement. Second, repentance. Third, baptism. Fourth, the Holy Ghost. And fifth, enduring to the end, which President Nelson, I love his interpretation of enduring to the end, is participating in temple ordinances and other ordinances of the gospel. So, Scott, I've said three or four times it all comes down to relationships. And we need to really think about the relationships we have with the Godhead. And we need to think about them in as three separate beings, right? We need to see the Father for who He really is in our relationship with Him as a child to a parent. We need to really understand our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we need to really understand our relationship with our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ, that He becomes our spiritual Father or the Father of our spiritual lives, the Father of our salvation. He is my elder brother in the premortal existence, but I feel closer to Him when I see Him as not just a brother, but as a Father of my salvation, that He was willing to die and that He purchased me with His blood, and that I am His servant. I love that sort of relationship with the Savior. And then we need to understand and seek to have a relationship with the Holy Ghost. And He is the third member of the Godhead. We can have deity in our lives every day. Deity is with us, Scott. Not just because my spirit's divine or the source of heavenly parents, but because I actually have a member of the Godhead with me as my constant companion who is continually throughout the day delivering grace and mercy and ministering the atonement of Jesus Christ in my life. This is a supernal gift. Words of President Packer, a supernal gift of the gift of the Holy Ghost that we've been given as members of the church. And years ago, Elder McConkie, you know, gave an unbelievably powerful talk about our relationship with the Lord on March 2nd, 1982, BYU devotional. And I've always loved that talk, and I won't go into the whole history of it, or even the outcomes or consequences of it, which is another story for another time. But in the, when he gets near the end of the talk, he says, you know, we really need a relationship with all three. We don't just need a relationship with God. We need a relationship with God the Father, with God the Son, and with God the Holy Ghost. And then he kind of, in my words, this is what I got out of it, to paraphrase. If you're going to err in a relationship with one of the three, then you probably should err in your relationship with the Holy Ghost, because it's the Holy Ghost that teaches us about the Father, and it's the Holy Ghost that teaches us about the Son, and it's the Holy Ghost that testifies and ministers all of the gifts of God into our lives. So if you're going to err in a relationship with a member of the Godhead, work on your relationship with the Holy Ghost. You don't hear that very often, Scott. We always talk about a relationship with Jesus. I mean, that seems to get most of the press, right? We need a relationship with Jesus, and we need a relationship with the Father, who so loved the world, he gave us Jesus. And we need a relationship with the gift of the Holy Ghost, who teaches us about the Father and the Son and allows us to have a relationship with them through the Spirit. It's just so important that we do all that we can to make a study of it. I know we haven't talked necessarily about too much today. Maybe we should do this next podcast, Scott. Let's talk about how can we get the Holy Ghost, because there are some great scriptures on that. And let's do a study on how we can receive the Holy Ghost in our life. Today, I think we're just pretty much talking about the importance of it. Right. But we can, through our efforts, there are things we can do that influence his ability to not only be with us, because I think he chooses to be with us, not only to be with us, but our ability to recognize him.
Right. Just in closing, back in 1999, it would have been 99, because October of 1998 is when I got sober, and this was the winter after Christmas of 1999. So January-ish, I'm in a fireside, and this fireside is for those who are struggling or have been struggling with addiction. It was put on by the then church program of addiction recovery. It's changed a little bit, quite a bit actually, since then, but then that's what it was. And it was alcoholics and drug addicts in this fireside and their family members, and one Jack R. Christensen, you may know him.
Our good friend, he was on our podcast.
He was on our podcast just a couple of months ago.
Love him, anyway.
Yeah, and this was I heard him speak. I had the opportunity with him to speak at several subsequent firesides after I had, gotten a little further in the path. But he said a couple of things in that fireside that I will never forget. One of the things that he said, and I know he's not the originator of this thought, but I heard it from him. And one of the things that he said is that when we feel lonely, and I take that to mean, Dave, when we feel lonely, when we don't feel like we're right, when we don't feel the love of God, when we don't feel like we matter in life to anybody, when we're feeling lonely, now that's not actually how he put it. He says, if we will strive to have the Spirit in our lives, we will never have to face loneliness alone. And that's so important to me, you know, because we talk about if we're going to strive to have a relationship, well, how do we have a relationship with the Savior? We have that relationship with the Savior through the Holy Ghost. How do we have a relationship with the Father? We have that also through the Holy Ghost. So if we always want to feel the effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ, which is God's love, if we want to feel the effects, which is actually God's love in our lives, then we will strive to have the Holy Ghost in our lives, or to feel the Holy Ghost in our lives.
Yeah.
Or to recognize the Holy Ghost in
our lives. So maybe an invitation, Scott, as we conclude, for our listeners to begin to ponder, how can I, we'll talk about this next week, how can I begin to receive, recognize, and respond more effectively to the gift of the Holy Ghost, the supernal gift of the Holy Ghost. And I have always loved, this scripture is quite kind of mind-boggling to me, Scott, and I remember when I first read this scripture, actually. It had a profound effect on me then, and it was actually right before my mission. And it is when Jesus is with his disciples, and they are praying, and he's praying, and then they're praying to him, and we learn what they say to him, and he says to the Father, "Father, they're praying to me because I am with them." But of all of the things that they pray for, it says that they prayed for the thing which they most desired, which was the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's in 3 Nephi chapter 19, Scott. I can't remember the exact verse, but they did pray. It's in verse 9. They did pray for that which they most desired, and they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them.
Why don't you repeat that reference just one more time?
3 Nephi 19:9. They did pray for that which they most desired. Is that what I most desire? Is that what I pray for most? Is that the one thing in my prayers that I really don't neglect in my prayers, that I really in faith pray for? I think if that's one thing that we can invite our listeners and ourselves, Scott, to do better at, is to recognize that of all that we can desire from God in this life, the greatest gift he has given us and the thing that we should most desire is to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in our life. And through the power of prayer, we can do that. That, among other things that we can do, that's one thing that we can begin to do now, is to recognize him as the most important gift we can receive and to pray in earnestness and in great faith for that gift.
And we will have a divine invitation to do all that as the Sabbath rolls around in just a few days and we have an opportunity to partake of the sacrament. So let's make sure that as we're partaking of the sacrament this week, that this is on our mind, that as we covenant to always remember him and to take his name upon us, that as a result of that, that we have been promised that we will have his Spirit to always be with us. It's our prayer that we can recognize that we can do what we need to do to receive it, and that we can respond to that in a holier and higher way as we walk down this path of life. Thanks for being with us. We look forward to being with you again next week. And until then, be well.